Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Well, happy Memorial Day weekend, Sporting Journal Radio listeners. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast. This week, we'll talk about America with Jamie Dittman. Actually, we'll talk about veterans on the lake up in Ely. Also, Joe Henry has a Lake of the Woods report for us. We'll check in with Hay Bale Heights and Devil's Lake. And we'll also talk to Greg Hoke. He is going to tell us about some plans for the new duck and pheasant management plans here in Minnesota and how you can provide input. Time for what's new this week around the listening area. It's brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. It's the final week of the turkey season in Minnesota, season F. And the archery season goes through May 31st. In Wisconsin, the Great Wisconsin Birdathon goes Saturday, May 25th from 9 a.m. to noon. Compete against people all over Wisconsin to see who can spot the most birds. Visit the Wisconsin DNR website for more info. Also in Wisconsin, Saturday, June 1st and 2nd is a free fun weekend. No state park admission stickers or trail passes are required. It's also free fishing weekend when people may fish without fishing licenses or state trout stamps. That's in Wisconsin, June 1st and 2nd. For our Park Falls listeners in Fifield, there are lawnmower races coming up at the racetrack Sunday, May 26th. Hot laps at noon, races at 1 p.m., $5 to get in. It's put on by the fire department. Who doesn't enjoy a good lawnmower race? In North Dakota at the Chehinkapa Zoo in Wahpeton, it's Blue Goose Days, May 31st through June 2nd. There's a fishing tournament, wildlife walk, and more. And also in Wahpeton, the Dick Bell Catfish Tournament is June 1st at Kidder Recreation Park in Wahpeton, sponsored by the Red River Area Sportsman's Club. And that's what's happening. If you have an event you'd like us to talk about here on the show, let us know at sportingjournalradio.com. Now it's time to head up to the central part of the state, talk to Jamie Dittman, fishing guide around the Brainerd Lakes area. Jamie, how's it going?
Good. Other than a little bit too much rain, but otherwise good.
This rain is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And you actually were up in Ely and it was raining up there for your trip.
Yeah, it was a little colder up there and rain, but first day, Monday, was just beautiful. Sunglass calm, and then as the days progressed, it got a little wetter and a little colder.
Hmm. So what were you up there for?
We went up to the, I believe it's the 53rd annual DAV fishing trip up at Veterans on the Lake.
Cool. And what's that all about?
We have veterans mainly based out of the St. Cloud area come up, and I believe this year we had 35 veterans come up for a couple days of fishing and a fish fry and just chill out on the dock some days. And we have one group that goes out into the boundary waters. Some of the veterans that can do that, they do a portage in, and then we take the rest of the veterans out right on Fall Lake, right by Veterans on the Resort, and catch walleyes and crappies and just spend 2 days out there having a good old time.
Veterans on the Lake there is a pretty neat place. I had the chance to stay there 1 year, and they're essentially all their cabins are set up for veterans, say with wheelchair access. They've got pontoons. They really make it easy for people who've been in those types of situations to get out and enjoy the outdoors a little bit.
Yeah, and it's set up for veterans, but other people can stay there too. The veterans get a little better deal, but they have handicap accessible, and it's open with a big hall and stuff too, so you can have little private parties there, and you have a pool and good fishing and a lot of other stuff too, hiking and everything else too.
How do veterans get set up with the trip that you were a part of?
The trip that we were on, I believe it was through the either the Elks or the DAV. And pretty much all those sites, your local chapter has, can get events and calendars on that stuff.
Very cool. What about somebody that would want to volunteer for that? Is that an option?
Yes, it always is. We're always looking for boat captains, and the nicer boats and smarter captains, the more fish they'll get, and it's always great to have new people come. And we actually did have one kid this year come that was a younger kid, probably in his 20s, early 20s, and he brought his boat up and he had a great time. And it's really cool to see, younger people doing that.
How was the fishing? What'd you catch? How'd you do it?
Fishing was all right. It was probably the slowest I'd seen up there, but we still got, we probably put 30 walleyes in my boat, and we had, the main goal is to get enough fish. So, Wednesday night, they have a big fish fry for everybody, and that's kind of the goal. As long as everybody catches something and we have enough to feed everybody, it's all good.
There's a couple places on the lake that are usually pretty reliable spots for walleyes, but obviously you can go all over that place and catch fish. We mainly just anchored up and jigging.
Yeah, we mainly anchor and jig, or maybe do a little drifting in Lindy Rigging. That lake is kind of full of wood on the bottom.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of snags. So I like to just hold still and jig, and the fish move around so much. We mainly fish in front of the dam area, right by the waterfall, and you catch everything from smallmouth to walleyes to northerns to, we got a 14-inch crappie sitting there. So
wow, nice. That's great. And the crappies, you know, I've heard stories of crappies picking up, you know, my dad was fishing in Northwest Wisconsin here. He's gone up there a couple of times now, and the crappie bite was on fire. In other places here where I'm at in Western Minnesota, one of the lakes, I know the crappies have been real slow. They're just starting to pick up. In fact, it's been just the big girls that have been up in the shallows. We've been able to pick off a couple of really nice ones, including caught a 15-incher the other day. That's nice. One of the biggest crappies that I've ever caught. So hopefully the crappies start kicking up. What about Brainerd? Are the crappies going there?
Yeah, you know, if you get out, I mean, you still have a lot of bad days with the weather, but if you get a nice sunny day, they're in. And I think they'll continue to be in for at least another week. You just got to pick that right morning when they're not getting blown off the beds and cold. And
yeah, this weather is just ridiculous. I will say, though, you know, normally I'm excited about the crappies in the spring. This year has been a really good year for me anyway, for walleye.
Yeah, it's, you know, the cold weather's kind of hanging on and the walleyes are still biting, and Mille Lacs has been going good. Brainerd's been pretty decent. But most people, like you said, if they get the right day, they're going to go chase those crappies, and that's what they've been doing.
Jamie Dimon, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. We don't have as much time this week to talk about it, but I know you got the Teen Challenge coming up, what, here in next week, couple weeks?
Yep, next week we got the Teen Challenge tournament on Gull Lake, and that kind of kicks off the tournament season. I have that, and then Camp Confidence, and then Trolling for Troops, and then something about going to Canada for a while.
So nah, I can't wait.
It's pretty much over.
Can't wait. We'll be going to Tazen Lake Lodge once again, and you'll hear plenty about that coming up in the next couple of months, probably, here on Sporting Journal Radio. All right, Jamie, before we let you go, since you just spent some time up in Ely, it's time for Sporting Journal Radio Trivia. Ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters. Book your fall hunting trip in Western Minnesota at midmigrationoutfitters.com. Jamie, how many lakes are in the Boundary Waters? Is it A, 518, B, 1100, or C, 6?
I'm going to go with 1100.
1100. The answer when we come back on Sporting Journal Radio. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Hey anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazen Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazenLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazen Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazenLake.com. That's TazenLake.com. Tazen Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Sporting Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel, broadcasting throughout the region, or at PrairieSportsman.org. All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. Time for Sporting Journal Radio trivia as we find out the answer here. Before the break, we asked the question brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters. How many lakes are in the Boundary Waters? Is it A, 518, B, 1,100, or C, 6? Well, to help us answer that question, we're going to bring in Joe Henry. So Jamie started it. Joe, you get to finish the trivia today. Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, what do you think the answer is?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not so sure, but I guess I'd have to say B.
B, 1,100. That is correct.
Yay!
Both you and Jamie both get those questions right. According to Wikipedia, there are over 1,100 lakes within the BWCAW's borders and hundreds of miles and streams. 80% of the area is forest and accounts for the largest area of uncut forest in the eastern portion of the U.S. Sporting Journal Radio trivia. Now another place where there's a lot of water and trees, Lake of the Woods. Joe, you actually spent some time up at a unique part of the Lake of the Woods area up at the northwest angle.
It's kind of interesting because in order to travel up there by vehicle, you actually have to travel through a piece of Manitoba, Canada, and then you enter back into Minnesota. So it's very unique that way.
And you get to bring back Canadian candy bars.
Well, I'll tell you what, so it's kind of fun because for people that check out the Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook page, I actually stopped in Sprague, Manitoba, and I saw my buddy at Carl and Kay's Fine Foods, Murray Mache, and I did a quick video for the Facebook page, and it was really kind of funny because I just wanted to highlight just a few things, you know, that you get in Canada that you really can't get in the U.S., like a Coffee Crisp candy bar and Canadian jams and special flavored chips and, of course, famous wheat bread from the one of the Winnipeg bakeries. And Murray, boy, he was on a roll, man. He brought me over and showed me, some different kind of candy. He had to show all the different meats he had. He was calling brats. That's a Canadian thing, I think. Yeah. I said, no, it's not a brat. It's a brat. He said, well, brats, this kind of sounds in Canada. Kind of sounds like my kids, he said. But then he had to bring him over and, of course, show the rye, the alcohol, you know. And I said, this is a G-rated deal. So, you know, we don't want that at all.
We call that Canadian whiskey here. I remember one of the first couple of trips I went to Canada, I asked for some sort of Canadian whiskey. They're like, Canadian whiskey? You mean rye?
Yeah, right.
I guess I do.
Well, the other thing that's kind of fun about that is, if you would ever get a lot of people know this, but if you get a Bloody Mary up there, you know, they really don't have the Bloody Marys. They have the Caesars. And of course, it's made with Clamato instead of tomato juice.
Oh, sure.
So just some neat little novelties. But some of those things you get when you drive through Canada, it's kind of fun, you know, when you're on vacation and such. And well, I'll tell you what, bro, we had some good fishing. You know, I had some family members go up and they fished. They kind of vacationed while I worked the majority of the time. I did get a chance to get out some evenings with them fishing. And, you know, I'll tell you, we found plenty of walleyes. In fact, my sister-in-law got her personal best walleye. She whacked a 31.25-inch walleye, and it was a horse.
Nice.
I mean, it was a big fish with shoulders. And, it was really kind of fun. We netted it, you know, and you can tell she's a real accomplished angler. First thing she said, what kind of fish is that? A walleye? You know, we said, yeah, that's a freaking walleye. You know, right? It is. You know.
How does that work? I've never caught a 31.25-inch walleye before.
That's a huge fish. I mean, it was big. I mean, it wasn't some skinny fish. It was a big fish. In fact, we have the video on our Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook page. But you saw that, Brett. It was I don't know how, if you could tell or not, but when it filled that net up, it was all fish.
Yeah, it was big, but it never fails. It seems like the person that never fishes much is the one that catches the big ones on trips like that.
Well, and it was really cool because she pulled it up the first time. This thing was running, and, you know, and instead of playing it out where you're keeping that line, you know, tight and just you bring it up, and when it runs, you stop reeling. She just kind of keeps consistent reeling, and the drag is going on all the time, you know, and it made a couple good runs. And, you know, luckily, on the second time up, we scooped her, and nice fish, though, man. Like, we got a lot of walleyes, and, you know, we were fishing that 18 to 25 feet of water primarily. we're fishing off of right now those fish are in off of points and neck down areas where there's current. We're off of a rocky point and we're just jigging and jigging with frozen shiners. We were using like quarter ounce jigs, and gold and pink were the seemed to be the go-to colors this time around. But you know, we also got some nice pike, we got some big perch. It was interesting, some of the walleyes, you know, in the river in the south end of the lake, the majority of those fish are spawned out. Up at the angle, we actually caught some walleyes that hadn't spawned yet. Oh. So it's colder water, you know, and but it was good. It was fun. And I shouldn't say they didn't spawn out. I guess we didn't get a lot of walleyes with eggs, but we did get some males that were milking, you know. Sure. And but really, it was a fun trip, you know.
And you can see those videos on your Facebook page, Lake of the Woods Tourism. And Joe, if people want to plan a trip up to the angle this year or any part of Lake of the Woods in the Rainy River, where should they go for more info?
You know what? Check out our website, and that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
It's time for the best of the Conservation Officer Report, provided by the Minnesota DNR, presented by Prairie Sportsman Television, Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Conservation Officer Shane Zavodnik from International Falls responded to a call involving a vehicle that drifted off the road and had caught on fire. When he arrived at the scene, the vehicle was completely engulfed in flames, and Zavodnik learned that both the driver and passenger side doors were blocked shut due to the surrounding trees. Luckily, a passing-by motorist had noticed smoke in the ditch and decided to turn around. The quick-thinking individual was able to open the back hatch of the SUV and pull the driver and her dog out to safety unharmed. The individual's attention to smoke in the ditch and quick thinking made for an incredible day to see everyone walk away from the scene unharmed. Amazing. Bob Milnar of Aiken traveled as part of the DNR Enforcement Honor Guard to Washington, D.C., The Honor Guard participated in a watch at the Fallen Officer Memorial after the addition of Game Warden Olaf Pearson Lofquist, whose death in 1936 had been overlooked. He was heading to the courthouse to testify in a deer poaching case on January 4, 1936, when his vehicle was hit by a passenger train in Aiken. Now, a couple of feel-good stories there from the Conservation Officer's Report from the Minnesota DNR, brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. See the full report right now at sportingjournalradio.com. Now up to Devil's Lake to check in with Curtis Blake from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Curtis, how's it going up there?
Oh, it's going good. We got some wind and some nice weather finally coming again.
Wind in North Dakota? Get out of here.
I know, right? It's like, wind. What is wind?
Well, we've had it here too in western Minnesota lately. Walleye bite's been pretty good where we're at. How about up there?
You know what? We're seeing some good eyes coming. The one thing that's got us a little messed up is this, you know, these cold fronts. You know, we had 38, 39 degrees just a couple days ago. Not the water temp, but the actual air temperature. And we went from our water temp going to high 50s, even up to the mid 60s in some areas, to spiking down to we were at 47, 48 degrees or were the warmest. So that jump in water temperature was really messing with our bite a little bit. Fished a little local tournament just last weekend, and it was right during one of those fronts. Still came out with a second place, but that second place only came with two walleyes. It was a combination of walleyes and pike. We had no problem getting our pike, but there was only one other team that caught more walleyes than we did. Wow. So it was, just a really bad bite that weekend. But now that things are back up in the mid-60s, you know, we're seeing the water temps warming again, and those fish are starting to get more active. So it's kind of a slow presentation, maybe even live bait bobbering in the morning, switching to cranks or plastics, pitching, hitting shorelines, windblown shorelines. Once it gets a little later in that day when that water temp does start hitting a little bit warmer.
Talking about Devil's Lake with Curtis Blake here on Sporting Journal Radio. He's with Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. We got a lot of rain here the past week. Our fields are soaked. Our water levels are high. Our rivers are fast and high. How are things up there on the big lake?
You know, they were calling for some of that rain. You know, you guys kind of stole it all from us, I guess, because we didn't get a lot of it. We had a nice shower just the other day. Was probably our heaviest rain we've gotten. Otherwise, it's been pretty dry. So water levels are, you know, they're holding. You know, we didn't get a big increase this spring with not much runoff and not much rain yet. But, you know, they're still calling. You know, we still got rain in the near future, we're hoping. But the water's where it should be for this time of year.
Well, you can come take some of ours.
Well, I'll borrow some anytime. You know, you just got to figure a way to get it out here.
we got plenty of it around here. And, you know, Chris, I've been hearing some reports in different areas about the crappie bite picking up. Where we're at, I think the water temps, at least on one of the lakes that I've been fishing, the water temps have been a little cool. We started to see some of the big crappies up in the shallows, but it really hasn't happened for us where I'm at yet.
Yeah, no, same thing here. You know, you talk about crappies, of course, they're like a myth out here, but they are out here. I've had a few buddies who've actually caught a few, but they're still, it's the same thing with that colder water temp. They're just not quite where they should be yet for this time of year. So, I mean, it's coming real soon here. We got beautiful weather in the forecast, so things are really going to start picking up here in the next week or two.
Now, that tournament that you fished, is that just a fun tournament on the lake? Do you do that all summer, or what was going on there?
You know, out here in Devil's Lake, our Anglers Association, Devil's Lake Anglers, they do an amazing job with the fishery, information for boaters, boater safety, ANS safety, stuff like that. And as a Lake Region Anglers member out here in Devil's Lake, you are entitled to fish. They have three tournaments a year, just smaller local tournaments. We do get some out-of-state guys to come and do it. All you have to do to join up on and fish a tournament, an Anglers tournament, is be an Angler member, which is a $20 a year membership fee, which goes to a lot of the guys. That goes to like pulling in docks, putting them in the summer, keeping up the ramps, the cleaning stations, stuff like that. So it's a good cause, and, you know, to throw some back, they do these little local tournaments for us.
Cool.
So they're not huge turnouts. You know, you get maybe 20 to 30 boats in a tournament sometimes, you know, so it's more for fun, you know, and bragging rights, of course.
Sure. Curtis, if people want to fish with hay bale this summer or just come up and stay in your cabins there, where should they go to book a trip?
You know, you guys can check us out online at www.haybaleheights.com. We have phone numbers for information there, plenty of information on the website, and you can book with us. We've got quite a few guides going, so anytime you guys are in the area looking to go fishing, get a little heads up on what's going on with the bite, you know, give us a call.
Curtis, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brett. You have a good one.
Haybaleheights.com. Coming up, Greg Hoke with the Minnesota DNR. There's a new duck plan and pheasant plan in the works. It's new/old, if that makes sense, but they're looking for your ideas. More with Greg coming up next on Sporting Journal Radio. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel, broadcasting throughout the region, or at PrairieSportsman.org. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Well, Minnesota is known as a rich waterfowling state. A new duck plan is in the works and will be completed, they say, by opening day this September. Now, the last time that I can remember a duck plan was put in place is 2006, and it had a 50-year forecast. To find out what the new plan will look like, we have Greg Hoke, the Prairie Habitat Team Supervisor, with us on the show now. Greg, how's it going?
It's going well, thanks.
I want to talk about the new pheasant plan that's coming out as well and let listeners know how they can offer their thoughts and ideas to the DNR about both the pheasant plan and the duck plan. But let's start with the ducks. Having this new duck plan, it's good news to me, Greg.
Yeah, that 2006 plan was a 50-year plan, which is obviously trying to bite off a fair amount at one time. We're going to call the 2019 duck plan is really just a step down from that 2006 plan, for lack of a better word, just trying to kind of break it up into more manageable bites. We're not ignoring or throwing away anything from the 2006 plan. We're just kind of refining it and going with more of a four-year plan, with the idea with both of these plans, duck and pheasant, that every 4 years we'll go through and kind of revisit and do any sort of revisions or updates that we need. So we still have the same hunter recruitment goals, harvest goals, habitat goals, but we've just kind of, yeah, broken them, taken 50 years, and we're going to break them into smaller time pieces just to make it a little easier to manage, as also a little easier to track how we're doing.
And the decline of people taking part in the outdoor world is, yeah, that's a heavy one that we don't have to tackle today, because as I like to say, if you've got good, like really good hunting and fishing, a lot of times that will solve a lot of that issue. Obviously, there's some other circumstances out there that need to be addressed. But if you've got really good duck hunting, your duck hunting licenses are probably, you know, maybe not trend upward in a giant way, but they're definitely going to fluctuate based on how good hunting is. So when it comes to good hunting, it all starts with the habitat, and I'm assuming habitat is a key part of the new duck plan.
Yeah, and again, but for both this pheasant and duck plan, yeah, habitat's kind of the core, and you're exactly right. It comes down to, you know, do you have good habitat that first off is going to draw the ducks in the fall, as well as provide, you know, good nesting habitat in the spring and the summer, and then also that public lands and availability aspect. So not only are there ducks around, but there are places for people to go hunt ducks, watch ducks, photograph ducks, et cetera, et cetera.
Access obviously is very important, and everybody talks to, you know, if you talk to the old timers, the old waterfowlers, they'll tell you that, oh, the duck hunting isn't as good as the olden days, and there's a number of reasons for that: wetland, drainage, whatever. One that doesn't get talked about as much that I'm beginning to feel like has had a larger impact than people realize are all these cattails that we've got in the sloughs, and these invasive cattails. Historically, Minnesota didn't have cattails like they do in all these sloughs, did they, Greg?
No, and we've got a couple of folks at the DNR who work just a couple feet down from me, who are specifically working on some of these cattail projects and getting funding. We have funding through the Outdoor Heritage Fund the last couple of years to spray cattails with different helicopters and other type of aircraft. And you're exactly right. And I've looked at the aerial photos from some, even just what are now public lands, from back in the, you know, the 50s, the 60s, some of the earlier photographs in the state from kind of, you know, the western part of the state, the Prairie Pothole region. And, you know, back in the day, there was a nice big wetland and a little rim of cattails around the edge. And in many of our wetlands today, it's, you know, a solid mat of cattails with a little opening out in the middle, mm-hmm. Which is quite often somewhere between difficult and possible to actually get out to throw a few decoys into.
And not only do these cattails choke out some of these sloughs, but there's other aquatic vegetation plans in this new duck plan, right?
Yes. Wild rice is probably the one that, you know, most immediately comes to mind. And, you know, that obviously is more of a forested part of the, we've been talking about a little bit about the prairie part of the state. Wild rice is we are doing some wild rice restorations in the prairie part of the state. But, you know, when you think about wild rice, or you think about some of that classic hunting literature about wild rice, it's really the northern and the northeastern part of the state.
Greg Hoke, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about this new duck plan for the Minnesota DNR and also a new pheasant plan that we'll get to. Is there some actual numbers on some habitat restoration out there, Greg?
Some of the numbers we'll be talking about are, acres of new public lands, both state wildlife management areas and federal waterfowl production areas. So those acquisition numbers. Numbers that we're restoring, both upland nesting habitat as well as wetland habitat, numbers of shallow lakes and wild rice lakes. The DNR has a new small wetlands program. We've had a shallow lakes program for quite a while, and we have a new small wetlands program. So how many of those small wetlands can we work on? And then there's also numbers for how many acres are we actively managing each year, whether it's spraying cattails, whether it's doing prescribed burns in the uplands, things like that. So there will be quite a few numbers in here in the plans. But we are still kind of working to refine those with our stakeholders and partners over the summer.
So are these mostly public acres, or will you be working with some private landowners on this?
There will be. In addition to the fee title, what we call acquisitions for WMAs and WPAs, there's also a number of easement programs in the state. A couple of the most famous ones in Minnesota would be like our CREP, Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. We had earlier CREPs in the state that permanently protected 100,000 acres of grassland and wetland. This current CREP is focused on 60,000 acres of permanent protection. And that's a program run by Bowser, the Board of Water and Soil Resources. There's also obviously kind of one of the biggest programs out there are farm bill programs. And the most famous one would be the Conservation Reserve Program. And as you probably know, since about 2007, we've lost about 1 million acres of CRP in Minnesota. One of the things that we really worked on, and we weren't as successful as we wanted with the first pheasant plan, was a really, really large increase in the CRP in the farm bill. The 2018 farm bill was passed. There are some really good conservation measures in there, but we really didn't see that strong increase in CRP that we were really hoping for.
Some people out there might not realize just how important grass is for nesting ducks.
A lot of our ducks, mallards, blue-winged teal, nest in grassland. We call them the prairie potholes, not the pothole prairies. Ideally, what we want to have is small to medium-sized bodies of water surrounded by pretty large pieces of grass. The other issue, the way grass plays into this, is ducks don't just need water. They need clean water that's high-quality water that has lots of bugs in it for them to eat, and also lots of good, healthy aquatic plants. And one of the best ways to clean up our water, both chemicals such as nitrates as well as sediment, is to strategically plant grass on the landscape, because grass is very, very good at filtering out the sediment, the phosphorus, the nitrates, et cetera, et cetera.
You're looking for public comments from duck hunters out there, waterfowlers, pheasant hunters. What kind of ideas are you looking for from people?
Yeah, and it's really open on what we're looking for. And if you just go to the DNR website, and I did this just a few minutes ago to double check, and in the search box, just type in duck plan, and that will take you to a web page. And there's a little bit of introduction, and if you scroll down, there's a place where you can click on to get to a survey. And so what we've done is we've got several goals and 10 objectives. And so you can go through and kind of grade each of those objectives as, lesser or more important to you. And then you can also offer comments about each one of those specific objectives, as well as just general comments at the very end. And so the obviously the more feedback we get from the more people, the better this plan will get. So I would encourage any and all of your listeners with any interest in either the duck, the plan, the pheasant plan, or both, to visit the DNR website before the end of the month and provide us as much feedback as you can.
Greg Hoke, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. I want to talk pheasant plan next, and then even talk about some books that you've done. More with Greg coming up on Sporting Journal Radio. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television, Thursday nights at 7:30 on KSMQ in the southern part of Minnesota, Saturdays at 2:30 on Lakeland Public Television in the north, or watch reruns Tuesdays and Thursdays on the Minnesota Channel, broadcasting throughout the region, or at PrairieSportsman.org. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fish you ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, on demand, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast wherever you get podcasts. Talking about the new duck plan and pheasant plan coming out from the Minnesota DNR later this year. They're asking for public comments. If you have ideas and you say, gosh, this is, I really wish the DNR would do this when it comes to ducks, managing ducks or managing pheasants in the state of Minnesota, well, here is your chance to be heard. Public comments through May 31st. Find out how to do that. Greg Hoke is with us. He's a Prairie Habitat team supervisor, and he's joining us. We've been talking about the duck plan a little bit, and people, if they want to submit some comments on the duck or the pheasant plan, Greg, they can do it on the DNR website?
Correct. Yep. Just go to the website, type in duck plan in the search, and it will take you right to the page, and at the bottom of that page, you can click on the survey.
I know we've had a pheasant plan for the last few years, and this duck plan, we had a 50-year plan that started in 06, and now this new duck plan will be kind of on a four-year cycle. Is the pheasant plan like a five-year deal, or how does that work?
So, yeah, the pheasant plan, if you remember, started off back in December of 2014. We had the pheasant summit down in Marshall, Minnesota, and we developed then in 2015 the 2015 pheasant plan. And that really, again, was intended to be a four-year plan.
Four-year.
And so we're at 4 years now. And we have a new governor, a new administration, within the DNR. So it's always a good time to revisit things. And, you know, it's, you know, everybody always talks about you write a plan and then you put it on the shelf and it gathers dust.
Right.
And sometimes that happens. And by planning at the very beginning that we're going to go in and every fourth year, we're going to, you know, reevaluate this plan. And, you know, some things went fairly well. Some things, you know, didn't go as well as we had hoped. You know, that this is our opportunity to, you know, revisit and revise. The other thing that really keeps these plans alive is every year at the DNR roundtable, we produce a report card. So the first pheasant plan and this current pheasant plan had 10, we call them action items in the first plan. In this next plan, we're going to call them objectives and strategies, where we are going to grade ourselves. And if we did a really good, you know, if we, and I mean the royal we, the conservation community, both, you know, NGOs, state and federal agencies, funding sources, if we did a good job in an area, you know, we'll let people know that. And if, you know, if there are areas that, you know, not so well, you know, we're going to give ourselves a bad grade. We're not going to try and sugarcoat it.
I was going to ask why a 4-year significance, but when you mentioned a new administration, I'm assuming the 4-year, it will correlate with governor terms and appointments for the commission. We don't need to get into politics and all that, but I'm assuming that's why it's a 4-year plan.
I think that was part of it. And just with it, you know, every 4 years, the landscape out there changes enough, that it's probably a good average time to revisit things like this.
That I could see new administrations wanting to make changes if they wanted to, although I wouldn't say that that's the current case here. Greg Hoke, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about a new duck and pheasant plan. And we mentioned in the duck plan, habitat was a key component. I'm assuming it's kind of the same. They kind of parallel each other, correct?
Yes. In fact, in many cases, we tried to make the objectives in the one plan identical or darn near identical in the other plan, especially for the western and the southern part of the state. Duck habitat looks surprisingly similar to pheasant habitat.
Right.
They both need upland nesting habitat. They both need the grass. Ducks need wetlands during the summer. And pheasants love those cattail rims on those wetlands for winter cover. The two are very similar habitat. Obviously, as you move up into the northeast, the pheasant population drops off a little bit, and that things might look a little different up there as far as trying to match the two plans up one for one.
Well, if it was anything like last year, and I actually had way more time to hunt pheasants last year, and that's why my success rate went up considerably. But I felt like numbers were better last year than they have been. It seemed like a lot of birds made it through this winter. We'll see how the nesting season goes for them here. But, realistically, we keep adding habitat and the numbers keep going up. We could have some good years in the future here.
We could, although you kind of have to look at, as a biologist, I always have to kind of step back and look at the larger landscape. We can't just focus on the WMA or the WPA. It's what's going on, on that unit as well as what's going on around it. If you look at the last, decade or at least since about 2007, and let's just say we're losing 100,000 acres of CRP every year. We've been gaining between WPAs and WMAs, let's say 10 to 12,000 acres, maybe on average. Obviously, goes up and down with the years. So again, at the landscape scale, for every step forward we make with public land acquisitions, we're losing a huge chunk with the Conservation Reserve Program.
Yeah.
Now, again, some of that's being made up with, our CREP program and some of our other easement programs. But, as successful as we've been, and we've got the public lands, we are the envy of the nation, or at least the eastern half of the nation, for our WMA system. I don't think there's any other state that has the system that we have here in Minnesota. But we have lost so much of that grassland through those short-term programs like CRP that it really has been one step forward, two step backs in some years.
Yeah, the WMAs, I pretty much lived on them last fall. They're really a great asset to people that like the outdoors here in Minnesota for a variety of different reasons. So hopefully we can continue that. I know in some counties you have some issues trying to get into some more acquisitions. We all know the story of what's been going on in Lac Parle County in the last year or so, but hopefully we're able to create some more habitat, whether private or public, across Minnesota. And Greg, before we wrap up here, I want to talk about some books, because I'm holding in my hand right now, The Sky Dance of the Woodcock, The Habits and Habitats of a Strange Little Bird. And I think that's just hilarious because they're really cool birds. They have a huge following, but they are a strange little bird, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And in the evenings, I do like to write. I write for several national magazines and have a couple articles every month with Tim Spielman and Outdoor News. What that's what I do after working on wildlife all day. I come home to write about wildlife to decompress. But that's really not my job. I'm obviously the prairie guy. So yeah, these books are not stating DNR policy or advocating for anything, but I hopefully I did cover the science pretty well. And then what I like even more than the scientists or science speaking as a scientist is just kind of the cultural and historical literature around some of these birds, as well as their ecosystems, and some of the writings about the woodcock. If I'm not sure how much of you've read of the book so far, some of that writing can almost bring tears to your eyes. It's so beautiful, the way this one little bird affects people on an emotional level. Some of the writing was just absolutely beautiful.
It's amazing, you know, when you think about these woodland birds that we've got here. I always think of the grouse, the ruffed grouse, as being the unofficial state bird of Minnesota. And I always joke that grouse hunters are the only ones that sometimes come out of the woods really happy when they miss. You know, like they have a hard time actually killing them, which is great. And we went with Matt Soberg and Hank Shaw actually last fall and filmed an episode of Prairie Sportsman, and we wanted it to be a rough grouse hunt, and it quickly turned into a woodcock hunt. Grouse numbers not being the best right now, but the woodcock were just thick, and it was one of the funnest hunts I've been in the North Woods here in Minnesota, Greg.
I don't know how many dedicated woodcock hunters there are out there. I'm guessing a lot of the woodcock that are harvested are probably grouse hunters, as you just described, who are out and they flush some woodcock. And another really thing that I really love about this particular bird, and the season is pretty much over, is I've got a couple quotes in there about these are a two-season bird, just like some of our grouse, such as our prairie chickens and sharptails. If you're a hunter, you can get out and have a lot of fun chasing these guys around in the fall. But if you're really into just bird watching and things like that, the woodcock do the sky dance. Our grassland grouse do their lek dancing as a group. But these are really species that you can enjoy both in the spring and in the fall. And that's just one of the things that's really wonderful about some of these birds.
I haven't seen woodcock in the spring yet, and I want to film some woodcock banding for Prairie Sportsman. But we did go sit in a prairie chicken viewing blind and also a sharptail viewing blind this past spring. And I encourage everybody to go try it. It doesn't cost you a dime, and it's going to be one of the coolest things you'll see in the outdoor world. And Greg, real quick, where can people find your books?
You can order them online, either through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or you can go to the University of Iowa Press. I know some smaller bookstores around Minnesota have been carrying them. I don't have a specific names of bookstores, but I know people have contacted me and said that they've seen my books out at a couple of places.
Very cool. Well, appreciate the information with the duck and pheasant plan. Again, if people want to put their inputs in and give their ideas to the DNR about how they should be managing ducks and pheasants in the state, which sometimes that's a dangerous question to ask, but I feel like it's a good one, and I like the direction the DNR is going with getting insight from the hunters out there. They can do it through May 31st at the DNR website. Greg Hoke, the Prairie Habitat Team Supervisor, appreciate the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
And thank you for the invitation.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.